What things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Surely, one of the great pleasures of summer travel throughout this beautiful country of ours is to come across some untrammeled portion of God's nature, some little bit of countryside that hasn't been junked up with suburban sprawl, with signs and advertisements, and all of the rest. That's one of the beauties of the state of New Mexico, its deserts so accessible to the cities, rolling hills with cactus and an almost orange-colored rock, interspersed with green valleys and beautiful mountains, almost dark red in their hue, the mountains of the blood of Christ, they are called. This perfect picture, though, is ruined very often by someone who is out to make a buck. Indians, it seems, don't go after buffalo anymore. They go after bettors. And if you see some Indian reservation, you can be pretty sure there'll be a casino there, rising in the case of the Southwest like a big old pagan pyramid from the sands of the desert, beckoning the gullible to gamble away their money. It's a sad thing, especially in New Mexico, because each one of these Indian tribes and reservations were named after a saint. And so you see San Juan, St. John, or San Ildefonso, or Santa Ana, and then Buffalo Thunder, or the Camel Rock Casino, St. Clair Casino is my favorite. Come and you'll really win a lot at St. Clair. There's always someone who thinks he can get something for nothing, and someone else waiting in the wings to make money from his folly. You can get something for nothing. That has to be the oldest lie that was the substance of what Satan offered to Eve in the garden. We may not realize it at times. The price may be so hidden that it's easy to miss it or to deceive ourselves, like hidden taxes added to a purchase. But we pay. We do. Both now and later. People only imagine when they go into a casino that they're risking a roll of coins or a wad of currency, betting on a race or a game or a slot machine, or even in a convenience store, buying part in some great state-run lottery. And they think, well, I do, after all, have a chance to strike it rich. But the only riches to be had are wishes. Father, if I win the lottery, if I had a dollar for every time that promise is made, my goodness, I could have built something that they promised to build for me with our lottery winnings. My friend, to play the devil's table is already to lose. Even should you be one of the rare ones whose stakes to start out with were small and who manages to walk away from the table with his winnings intact after the government gets its part. Someone always suffers some elemental honor and common sense is being gambled away. And that is why even winners lose. That dollar, which seems so inconsequential, sure, I'll buy a ticket or two for the lottery, you never know. That dollar could have been saved to make up a mass for the poor souls, or even just in St. Anthony alms for the poor. Why gamble away the good you could be doing for your eternity? No individual and no nation can with impunity disregard the punishment, the just sentence, which the Maker of the human race, Almighty God, laid upon man in punishment for original sin. In the sweat of thy brow thou shalt eat thy bread. Labor. If he will not work, St. Paul says sensibly, why then let him not eat. There must be an honest way of paying our way as we go along, or else we will go down. It can't all be, you see, restructured loans and the printing of play money. This beautiful country of ours stands on the precipice of financial ruin, tottering someplace between Wall Street and wall-to-wall wars with our multi-billion dollar price tag each month. This country run and ruined as it is by those who have made an art out of getting something for nothing. This is the history of our current financial crisis, which may be causing suffering to some of you. Be not deceived, for what things a man shall sow, those also shall he reap. Those who are out to get something for nothing, the users, great and small, those who have got a plan, sometimes someone meaning well tries to interest us in a pyramid scheme for a fundraiser at church. And if you get in early enough, it's true, you'll get something back, but I've never felt right about that myself. The users are found, of course, even in church. It's St. Paul who writes about the Galatians being a little cheap when it came to the Sunday collection. They were holding back. What was true back then is true today. A user is a loser. He thinks he's getting away with something, but he will reap what he has sown. Now, if that is true, all of this, and it is a great truth of life about getting something for nothing, I wonder why it is that we Americans are sometimes, on the other hand, so willing to give everything for nothing. The opposite extreme. Yes, it is important to work, but must you live it and breathe it, and as they say, eat it and drink it 24/7? Why are some people so obsessed with their job? For some, of course, it's a way of making money. For others, I think it may be an escape from what's going on at home. Or it could provide them a kind of a pseudo or a virtual identity, which they buy for themselves by their labor. They are the job that they hold, laboro ergo sum. I work at this job, and therefore I am. Or listen to me, I'm important. This is the job that I have. I command so many people, and I bring home this salary and see all of the trinkets I've bought for myself with my life of success. Father Chicada and I were returning from New Mexico on Thursday night, and our first flight to Chicago had been canceled, and we ended up in Dallas late at night, crammed on one of the little commuter flights. And there happened to be, just the row in front of us, seated a very boring businessman who must have had a work associate sitting right behind him, and he was boring everybody on the front part of the plane with his loud talk. He was half turned around, the poor man behind him, about what he was going to do next, and she should have done that, and he was going to take care of that. And I looked over at Father Chicada, and I was envious of him because he always travels with earplugs. So he just had his earplugs in, and he was fine. But I was trying to read my book. I couldn't concentrate. Usually when I get in on a conversation like that, in this case a monologue, I think an edifying thought. Well, if only we Christians were so concerned about the things of God, imagine how we would advance the cause of Christ our King. But I wasn't thinking of that on Thursday night, and I leaned over to Father Chicada and I said, I can't take it anymore. And Father Chicada took out his earplugs and very kindly leaned up and asked the man very politely if he would mind lowering his voice. And he did. Miracle of miracles. Asked politely, he responded the same way. Problems can be solved in the end, but like all good things, it requires on our part some effort. Let us work, St. Paul says today. Let us work good to all men. If we are unwilling to make that effort to work for ourselves and our family, a fair day's work for our wage, to work for our country, to work for our church, and most of all, for our immortal soul. Well, remember this. Something for nothing is the original scheme of the original huckster, Satan. Don't gamble on your eternity. As you sow, so shall you reap. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.